This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Foundations. Why do you build me up and then let me down like that? Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for being with us. It is Friday, January the 17th, National Right to Life Day, isn't it? There's a big march in Washington in defense of the unborn. It's been going on ever since, I believe, 1973 or 1974, right after Roe versus Wade was passed. It's called the March for Life. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Trita Parsi of the Quincy Institute about the Biden administration's decision to put the Houthis back on its list of terrorist groups. Now, Parsi says the move actually bolsters the Houthis' ability to disrupt the Mideast by putting them back on the list. So we will talk to Trita Parsi about that in just a few minutes. And Texas doubles down on defending its southern border after the feds demand that the state cease and desist. We are going to give you the details on that. Stay tuned. And we will bring back Campus Quackery this morning, another installment. Milwaukee Public Schools focus on, quote, understanding whiteness, unquote, in their attempts to equalize school discipline. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 U.S. states that have the most lakes. Do you know what's number one? We'll find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. I have never found a better place for a men's haircut than Andrew's Master Barbershop. They have been in business for close to 40 years in Dunedin. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Great haircut, great price. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with trees, call Tampa's premier tree service, ArborLife, for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, lots going on. The House of Representatives yesterday voted to advance another, I guess you could call it extension, a short-term government funding bill, which will go to Biden's desk, where he's going to have to sign it before the end of the day today to avert a possible, a partial government shutdown. I say we shut down the government partially. It will not hurt us. Despite what you hear, all of the major services continue, including your welfare and Social Security checks. But anyway, the short-term funding extension passed 314 to 108, and nearly split the Republicans in the House in half. 107 voted for the passage, 106 against it. So they had more Democrats that had to vote for it. It's called a continuing resolution, and in the Senate, it had passed 77 to 18. Apparently, in the Senate, they don't care as much about wasting money. The decision to pass the bill in the House made amid widespread frustration with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. His right flank, very upset. Hours before the vote, the Freedom Caucus chairman, Bob Good, met with Mike Johnson, trying to persuade him to add a border security provision to the continuing resolution. But Johnson decided not to do it. He said the plan has not changed. The House is voting on the stopgap measure to keep the government open. So we'll see where all of this goes. But Mike Johnson is taking a lot of heat. Remember, Kevin McCarthy lost his job because a lot of further right-leaning Republicans in the House said he was abandoning his conservative roots and going along with the liberal wishes of the Democrats. So anyway, that's where it is right now. In the meantime, did you know that jobless numbers are coming down? They've come down to their lowest level since 2022. The number of Americans filing for unemployment last week unexpectedly fell to the lowest level in 16 months. Apparently, they say this is evidence the labor market remains resilient. Numbers from the Labor Department show that claims for unemployment for the week ending January the 13th plunged by 16,000. So it's now only 187,000. It marks the lowest level for jobless claims since September of 2022. So, but a lot of people are just getting off the unemployment rolls altogether, but they don't have jobs. And those that are not filing and don't have jobs are not counted. So you don't really know how many people are really jobless. Well, you're only looking at how many people have decided to file for unemployment. So, there you go. So, in the meantime, down in Texas, you gotta love the governor of Texas. Texas authorities have put additional razor wire along the border to deter migrants in the Eagle Pass area after their attorney general defied the Biden administration's threat of suing them for protecting their own southern border. Workers were filmed unpacking and installing razor wire in Shelby Park, which had previously been a staging area for processing for these migrant surges. So it was one of the busiest places for these people to come in. Now, the razor wire is at the center of the lawsuit between Texas and the feds. And the attorney general for Texas, name is Ken Paxton, informed the Department of Homeland Security that Texas will not comply with their demand letter ordering the state to permit the feds into Shelby Park. Did you hear about the fact that the feds were blaming Texas for the deaths of three people in the river? It turned out they had nothing to do with it. They were crossing over from Mexico. It was very sad. Three of them drowned. I think there were two children and a mother, if I remember that correctly. But it turned out that the Texas border security had nothing to do with the drowning, despite what the feds said. So there you go. Things continue. You know, you got to give the governor of Texas, I think, a lot of kudos for wanting to protect it. This is such a strange, Orwellian situation when you have your own federal government trying to get as many illegal immigrants into our country as possible and going after a state that wants to defend its border. Can you believe it? I cannot, but it's happening. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Trina Parsi, Quincy Institute, we're going to talk about the Biden administration's decision to put the Houthis back on its terrorist watch list.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Friday already. Yes, indeed. And we're delighted to have Trita Parsi join us. He is the co-founder and the executive vice president of the Great Quincy Institute, and we're going to talk with Trita about what is going on with the designation, or should we say the redesignation, by the Biden administration to treat the Houthis in the Mideast as a terrorist organization. Trita, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. You make a very interesting comment here. Now, of course, the Biden administration had taken the Houthis off of the terrorist watch group, and now they brought them back on again. We got all this trouble going on in the, obviously, in the Mideast, the Red Sea, and the whole bit. But you believe that this designation, this redesignation, is a nothing burger designation. Could you do you mind explaining that?
I wouldn't say that it's a nothing burger, but the main impact that this could have on an organization is its ability to be able to use the international financial system to move money. The Houthis have not been doing that for quite some time, and their main connections are with countries like Iran, who are already off that international financial system. This is one of these symbolic things that governments do in order to make it look as if they're tough, as if they're doing something. But more often than not, they end up actually making matters worse. The one thing that the administration has done that, in my view, truly has made matters worse is to take military action against the Houthis for the purpose of reopening the sea lanes in the Red Sea, which is very important. It's a valid goal. But the method, which is to, you know, start bombing them, has only made matters worse because they actually have inflamed tensions in the region. And now less ships are willing to travel through the Red Sea. So in an effect, it has actually made the Houthi effort to blockade the Red Sea more effective. And this was highly predictable. It was very clear that the Houthis would not back down over this. And then the president admitted it yesterday, saying that it's not working, but we're going to continue to do it.
Yeah. So what do you suggest we do to open
up
the...
thing that is,
go ahead.
The thing that has been really fascinating to see how the mainstream media never really covered it is that the Houthi demand has been that they will stop the attacks if there is a ceasefire in Gaza. Now, of course, the Israelis don't want a ceasefire, but we have to ask ourselves what's in the U.S.'s interest. If we have a ceasefire in Gaza, it actually pacifies three key fronts that have been of danger to the United States. One is the Israeli-Lebanese border, and we don't want that war to expand. One is attacks by Iraqi militias on U.S. troops. During the 6 days that there was a ceasefire in November of last year, there were zero attacks by Iraqi militias against U.S. troops. It completely stopped. And that's what we want. We don't want them to be attacked. And then, of course, the Red Sea and the Houthi attacks there, which also dramatically reduced during that ceasefire. On top of that, a ceasefire would win the release of the Israeli hostages held by Hamas. It's the only time the hostages have been freed has been during a ceasefire. And, of course, you know, ending the war in Gaza itself with this, you know, more than 24,000 killed so far. So we have a big stake in making sure that there is a ceasefire in order to make sure it doesn't get into a bigger war that drags us into it. And it's perplexing to me that the administration has not even considered that option. Instead, seems to be doing everything it can to avoid a ceasefire, even though a ceasefire lies in our interest.
Well, it's interesting you say that. Israel was bludgeoned in that attack by Hamas. I mean, it was a bludgeoning. Do they not have a right to do what they are doing? Is that what you're saying?
No, they absolutely do not have a right to do what they're doing. They have a right to they have a right to defend themselves, but they have killed 24,000 people so far.
Well, wait. No, Trita, you don't know that. Where are you getting the 24,000 number from?
No, this has been confirmed by international organizations. And incidentally, if you ask the Israelis, they say that. If you ask the Israelis, they say that they have killed more than 24,000.
All right.
The only ones who are arguing that it's been less than 24,000 is the President of the United States and certain people in the U.S. media. No one is disputing these numbers.
Do you think Hamas should be allowed to continue existing?
I don't believe Hamas should be allowed to continue at all.
Okay.
But I also don't believe
so
that what the Israelis are doing. Well, hold on. But what the Israelis are doing is not stopping Hamas. Hamas, after 100 days of fighting, is still shooting rockets into Israel. This is the same mistake we did. We thought that we could just take out the Taliban. They were not allowed to continue. 20 years later, they're still in power in Afghanistan. We should have been better friends to Israel and actually given them the advice based on our own experience. But this is not the most effective path of doing things. And Israel is extremely isolated in the world right now. As a result of this, we are paying a high price. Internationally, we're more isolated than Russia was when it invaded Ukraine at the UN because of our support and our blocking of a ceasefire at the UN Security Council. This is not good for the United States.
But you admit or agree that Hamas should be eliminated, correct? So how are we going to
Hamas
do that?
Hamas should cease to exist, but the only pathway to be able to make it
how do you do
to
that?
Exist is to... Well, it's by making sure that there isn't a demand for Hamas. And the demand for Hamas comes as a result of a continued occupation and a complete blocking of any pathway for the Palestinians to have a state.
So when you say
Hamas is a manifestation of the fact that there's a people have been living under occupation for more than 70 years. Look. If we actually had a successful peace process, which Netanyahu brags about how he blocked, he brags about he's the one who's prevented a two-state solution. If we had a successful two-state solution, Hamas would not be existing here.
Well, I don't know how you can justify the attack that killed all of those innocent Israelis, the way that they were treated and the way they were killed, and not suggest that there should be retaliation by Israel. They have
every right. No, hold on.
They have every right to defend themselves. And to say a ceasefire is not going to get rid of Hamas. That's not going to get rid of Hamas. How is the ceasefire going to do in Hamas? It's going to make Hamas look like they were successful.
Well, according to you, Hamas was successful with the way that they described that attack. First of all, I did not say that Israel doesn't have a right to retaliate. It absolutely does have a right to retaliate, but it has to be within the confines of international law. What it is doing is not only outside of the confines of international law, there's a high likelihood that the International Court of Justice will find
Israel. They're not trying to kill innocent people. They were trying to extricate the Hamas, who are hiding in these tunnels and under hospitals and all of these other places, hiding behind their hostages. They're trying their best to extract the Hamas.
No, they're not. They wouldn't have this type of a death toll. And in fact, they're dropping 2,000-pound bombs provided by us to them on apartment buildings that kills everyone within 300 feet. Okay, that's not in any way, shape, or form targeted. That's not in any way, shape, or form an effort to reduce civilian bombings. But what I'm mostly concerned about is how this is the continuation of this war. A lack of a ceasefire risks dragging the United States into yet another war in the Middle East. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, not having a ceasefire in Gaza so important that we're willing to go back into the Middle East in yet another war? I hope not, and I can assure you the vast majority of Americans do not want to go back.
No, I don't think they do either.
But then the pathway to avoiding that is not to sit here and put Israeli interests ahead of the U.S., but is put American interests first, and that is to not have an escalation that drags us into that war.
Well, Israel is defending itself against an unmitigated slaughter. So they're doing what they think they need to do. They're trying
1,200 people were killed during that horrible Hamas attack.
Yes.
More than 24,000 people have been killed ever since by what the Israelis are doing.
Yes, but that's not because...
But the bottom line is...
That's not
so
because
far,
Israel was indiscriminately dropping bombs on everybody.
So
that's not true.
We don't have a situation in which the U.S. is dragged into this war. But if this continues, and if we don't have a ceasefire, because that's the only way to stop this, then we may very well end up in another war. And people like yourself, I have to be very frank, who afterwards will criticize that war, rightfully.
You know
criticize
what we've been
that
doing
war, and criticize that we shouldn't be there. Have to also ask yourself, why are you not taking the position that prevents us from going in there at this point, rather than just, you know, expressing support for what Israel is doing without considering what the interest of the U.S. is
in it? But the Biden administration has been nothing but an appeaser. And by appeasing like they have, look what they're getting out of all of this. And a lot of people in the Biden administration are saying what you're saying. They want to see the Israelis cut back on the fighting. But by appeasing... let me finish. By appeasing Iran, what has it gotten us?
You're jumping to other issues.
No, I know, but I'm jumping to the issue
of what you said earlier on. Hold on. This is a great conversation, but I just got to make this comment. The Biden administration has done everything in their power to not have a ceasefire. They've blocked 2 UN Security Council resolutions at the UN. They have watered down the other ones to make sure they don't call for a ceasefire. They've shipped more than 10,000 tons of weapons to Israel since October 7th.
Biden himself has come out and said that he wants to see Israel cut back. Look, Iran.
No. What the administration has said.
Look,
is these statements that are not backed off by any action. Their action speaks for themselves. They bypassed congressional authority twice to ship weapons faster to the Israelis while saying, oh, we want to see a cutback. That's just stuff they're saying. What they're doing is actually giving Israelis everything that they want, which, again, in my view, increases the risk of a regional escalation that would be devastating for the United States.
I'll tell you what. Iran, we have been appeasing Iran. We are allowing them to build nuclear weapons. We're handing them billions of dollars, all kinds of things. And what do we get? We get this problem with Iran backing the Houthis, and all of this trouble in the shipping lanes in the in the Red Sea areas. Appeasement is not working right now in the Mideast. It just is not working.
It would be interesting
working.
If the United States actually had pursued appeasement, then we could have a conversation
about whether it worked or not. Why?
But there hasn't been any appeasement. First of all.
By Houthis.
All of these attacks
by the Houthis, yeah.
Okay, well, let's take a look at these numbers then. During the past summer, there was a complete stop to attacks by Iraqi militias because there were negotiations between the U.S. and Iran and an agreement that was found in which there was essentially a ceasefire between them and the U.S. and no attacks at all by these Iraqi militias against U.S. troops. Then Hamas, on its own, which has nothing to do with Iran, according to U.S. intelligence, attacks Israel,
Hamas.
All hell breaks loose.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. And then we have a war, and now we see a dramatic increase. In fact, since October 7th, there's been more attacks against U.S. troops in Iraq in that three-month period than it was in the entire first 3 years of the Biden administration's term. So when we had ceasefires, we didn't have these attacks. When it was broken by Hamas, even though they were not party of that agreement, that's when all hell has broken. It's not appeasement that has gotten these other attacks. It's the fact that we have warfare there, and we're not pushing for a ceasefire. You want to go back into Iraq and fight another war there? Is that what you want?
No, and I don't.
Because all of this tough talk, just gets us back into those very same wars, in the very same wars that you rightfully oppose.
No,
if we really want to avoid them, then we have to make sure that we pursue policies that prevent that, rather than thinking that just
all you're
speaking
doing
is the right way.
All you're doing with this appeasement that the Biden administration is doing is emboldening Iran. They're already, if they haven't got a nuclear weapon, they're going to have one in a few years, maybe less than that. You want to see Iran with a nuclear...
I have another interview.
Do you want...
I would love to continue this. I have another interview that started a minute ago. But always great chatting with you.
Yeah, all right. Good luck to you. I tell you what. Trina Parsi, he's going to defend Iran. We have been appeasing Iran with money, with cutting back on the sanctions that we're supposed to be overseeing them so that they don't get a nuclear weapon. This is crazy.
The more we
appease, and this is what the Biden administration is doing, nothing but getting us in more trouble with all this appeasement. We didn't have any of this when Donald Trump was the president. It's very interesting.
Iran has always kept their word on everything, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Always. And
you're gonna buy into the idea. Oh, let's just back off everything, and now Iran's going to be nice to us. Let's make nice with Iran.
And the whole 1,200 Israelis that were slaughtered, it doesn't compare to the 24,000 of being killed over in the Gaza area. I guess his suggestion would be once they got to 1,200, they should have stopped.
Yeah,
and said, okay, there you go, eye for an eye.
Well, and also he's pulling these numbers out. Nobody knows for sure, and you can't believe what Hamas or any of those terrorist groups say about the number of people killed. That's another thing. It's just crazy. Anyway, we respect that he came on, but I can't buy into what he's saying. Anyway, we're going to take our break. No problem. We got lots more to talk about. And we come back in another installment of Campus Quackery. Wait till you hear this. Milwaukee Public Schools focusing on understanding whiteness in attempts to equalize school discipline.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street, in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Friday. Yes, indeedy. So we got another, it's going to be actually the first primary in the presidential election. It's coming up in New Hampshire. I think it's Tuesday. And there's a question about whether or not Ron DeSantis, our beloved Florida governor, is going to skip the primary and just focus in on South Carolina, which is one of the primaries coming up after that. But DeSantis pushed back on that narrative. He said he's not really skipping New Hampshire. They are devoting attention to South Carolina, where he is indeed polling a lot stronger. And DeSantis says, I had the morning available, and yeah, we were planning to maybe sleep in and rest, so I'm like, you know what? Let's use that time in terms of focusing for a moment on South Carolina. And then he said that he's going to, you know, go on and devote his attention to New Hampshire. But it doesn't look good in New Hampshire for him. He's like 6%. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think Trump is around 40. Mm. And Nikki Haley is in solid second place. Mm. She's like 25% or something like that. And then here comes Ron at about 6%.
She should enjoy that. If she gets to 30, she gets the free T-shirt.
When she gets to South Carolina, if she loses to Trump there, I think she's going to have to pack it in, because if you can't win your own state where you're a governor.
I think one candidate's going to hold on as long as they possibly can, because she's shifted to what good is an 80-year-old president if he's going to be in jail. So she's already bringing that up, that, oh, he could be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of confidence you got that. And you hear from the Democrats that he's got all this baggage. Well, who created the baggage? The Democrats created the baggage. Trump did not create the baggage.
Yeah, he responded to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's got then to respond. They go after him
but
for
now
responding.
She's all of a sudden shifting. Well, what good is an 80-year-old president if he's resigning from jail?
Yeah. Well, we got a guy that we've got to talk to. Andrew the Master Barber is joining us, like he always does. And so, Andrew, we got Ron DeSantis. If he comes out of New Hampshire with only 6% and is a distant third in a three-man race, do you think he's going to seriously consider whether or not he should even go to South Carolina?
Well, a couple things. First of all, lose the phone number of the guy you were just talking to. That's number one.
I jumped down his throat. I know.
But that's what your opinion is.
I'm not sure he's going to want to take my call again.
No, but that's why we can have an opinion. We can discuss it.
Exactly.
He didn't just hang up the phone and said, I'm not talking to you because you don't share my views. Goodbye.
Well, I don't share his feelings.
No, so. I don't either. But
anyway.
Thank you.
Anyway, I can tell you this. If Nikki Haley and Ron were spending their own money, they'd have been out a long time ago. But they're not spending their own money. They're spending their donations. Yeah. So they're going to hold down as long as they can spend other people's money.
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I mean, if I was going to have a good time, I'm spending somebody else's money. I'm going to have a good time. But if it's my own money, the time's cut in half.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a fact, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they're not going nowhere. Let's face it. Nikki Haley's going to lose in her own state. She wasn't liked. She sold half of South Carolina to China.
She's being portrayed both by Donald Trump and I think also by Ron DeSantis as more of a moderate to liberal who is more than willing to take on some liberal causes if it will help her get the job.
Let me tell you, Paul. You know, in these states where people could change their voter registration to vote in the primary, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wish I could do that here. I'll change mine tomorrow.
Right.
I'll put a dummy Democrat in that knows we're going to lose. And that's just what they're doing, Paul.
Yeah.
And she's backing it. She knows it.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to go. If anybody's got to be second place, it needs to be Ron. Because if Trump couldn't make it, Ron's the only one that could take care of this.
I saw Trump on Hannity.
He was fantastic.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
Of course.
Yeah, I knew they did. And
listen, you know, the guy is coming around, man. His mouth isn't what you proclaimed it used to be.
No, okay. He's been a little, you know, he's so far ahead. He can afford to make nice with people.
Let me tell you something. The way he talked the other night, he could unite this country. There's no question about it. He'd be the one to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was phenomenal.
We're certainly not having a united country under Biden, who was supposed to be the great uniter.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. He's the great moron, not the great uniter.
Yeah, he's
a whole other thing. I mean, he destroyed this country. The Democrats have destroyed this country. And I can't believe that 30% of the people still enjoy getting destroyed. I mean, do these people not have a brain? Don't they see what's going on in this country?
Yeah.
They're devaluing the dollar. They're trying to bring us into a third world country is what they're doing.
Well,
and the globalist elites are paying off the people. You got, what's his name there, the old German. I'm having a loss of memory right
now.
Right. The billionaire. Yeah, Soros.
Oh, George Soros, yes.
You know, he spends all kinds of money. I mean, the guy was a Nazi brown coat when he was a kid.
Well, he's from Greece.
Now,
he might have been a Greek brown coat. I don't know about that.
No. Okay, well, just the things I read about this guy. But anyway.
Yeah, he's not German. He's Greek. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you straightened me out on that.
No, that's all right.
But these people are out to destroy this country. The people that got their hands out, they want more, more, more. They let all these immigrants in this country thinking they're going to vote for them. Listen, the blacks are upset. The Latinos are upset. You know why? They're taking away from the people that need a little bit of help that are Americans. They're throwing our kids out of schools, putting immigrants in there for shelter. They're giving them clothes. They're giving them cell phones. They're giving them money.
Yeah.
What about the American people?
Oh, I know. You know that the immigration issue is now number one. It trumps the economy as the major issue people are worried about. It's the southern border, the immigration, the illegal immigration.
Well, they got two things going on, Paul. They got the illegal immigration, and they're hurting everybody in their pockets.
Yeah.
You know, when they're
That's
sitting
right,
there
the
saying
economy.
Inflation with Biden is 5.5%, 5.5% baloney. Go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
I mean, I went and bought ice cream the other day. My wife went and bought ice cream the other day. And it used to be in a half a gallon, right?
Yeah.
And then they shortened it to a quart and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my wife thought she got a deal the other day because she bought a Breyers, buy one, get one free.
Mm.
And it was $6, right?
Wow.
For a quart container, one quart. But it was buy one, get one free, so they gave you two quarts. For $6. Give me a break.
I know. It's terrible. Hey, there is some good news. You know that Maine, was her attorney general that was trying to get Trump off the ballot? Well, Wyoming's Republican Secretary of State has filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court supporting Trump remaining on the Colorado ballot, and he's urging his counterparts around the country to help end what he calls the weaponization of the 14th Amendment. He basically says that that Trump was never found guilty of an insurrection. He says we must stop, as secretaries of state, the radical left's un-American, unconstitutional attempt to weaponize the 14th Amendment against Trump. And we're going to keep working as we have to ensure he stays on the ballot. His name is Chuck Gray, anyway.
I would tell you this. I would hate to be the people to try to get Trump off the ballot if that happens. I would not want to be those people involved, just like that one girl in Maine. I would not want to be her at all.
Yeah.
They're looking for trouble. They think they're a lot bigger than they are, but one person is not going to tell the American people who they can and cannot vote for.
That's right.
And as far as these politicians trying to keep them off, they're not going to control who the people are going to vote for. This is getting sickening. It's becoming a communist country, and it needs to be dealt with now.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these other cases against Trump are starting to fall apart in Georgia.
And they're falling apart. You got Fat Fannie over there.
Yeah, Fat Fannie Willis.
Paying her boyfriend $680,000, destroyed the guy's marriage. He left his wife for $680,000.
I know. She is facing...
It might cost him a lot more than that in the divorce when she's done with him.
I think you may be right. She's appearing February 15th regarding allegations she had an improper relationship with the guy. So
forget the improper relationship. How about improperly spending $680,000 of the taxpayers' money?
That's right.
That's improper. It I don't care what she does with the guy. That's her business.
Yeah,
but they're showing what they're showing what a scumbag she is.
Yeah.
That case is done. It's going to be thrown out of court because her credibility is nothing.
Yeah, I think you're
and
right.
And you know what's sad about that, Paul?
What?
Is people like that, a black woman like that, or black person, politician like that, is a bad, bad influence on the black people. They're giving the black people a bad name, and it's not them at all. It's that one person.
Yeah.
People are seeing this. They're going to condemn all of them. And you know what? The black people should go after that one person and nobody else. Say, what are you doing to us?
Yeah, it doesn't look good. It's that same situation going on. Where is it? Is it New York with that
that's right.
Attorney General over there?
That's right.
It's not a good look.
And I guess these are all part of the Greeks funding there, Mr. Soros, weren't they? Didn't he put a lot of the, that's one Greek I don't think I like. I got a lot of Greek customers. I thought he was German. I was okay with that, but I'm not okay with him being a Greek.
Well, do you remember the old saying, beware of Greeks bearing gifts?
Yeah. Oh, yes,
there you go. This is what you got. This is really what you get.
It's terrible, Paul, what's going on. But you know what? Trump is going to come out of this smelling like a rose. I think Ron and Nikki should quit spending everybody else's money. Start spending your own. Let's see how much they're going to go.
Yeah. I think it may come to a close as far as these primaries go rather quickly here. We got New Hampshire, and then we got South Carolina, and I think out in Nevada they have a caucus going about the same time. That may put to rest anybody running against Trump at this point.
It's like I tell everybody. You got Nikki Haley and you have Ron. They are Republicans. Nikki Haley may be a rhino Republican. Okay, but they're still Republicans. Trump is not a Republican. Trump is a movement. And until people understand that, they're not going to comprehend what's going on.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
He's not.
MAGA is a movement. It is not a Republican movement. He's turning it into it.
Yeah.
And if they were smart, they'd back him 100% and get rid of these rhinos that are all in there.
Well, like we said before, you know, he's not so much a conservative Republican. He's more of a populist.
That's right.
And that's why he gets a lot of the blue-collar vote.
Yeah, but I get upset when people call it a cult.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not a cult.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm not in any kind of cults or anything like that.
Of course not.
I'm for whoever's looking to knock out the bad guys.
That's right.
That are screwing the country up and spending our money frivolously.
Right.
I want you guys to handle the beef that I've got, okay? My wife is a Jehovah's Witness,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you people know that Jehovah's Witnesses, well, they're not supposed to get involved in politics, and they're not supposed to have nothing to do with the government, and they don't vote. Now, there's hundreds of thousands of these people that won't vote, right?
Okay.
But how come they take money from the government and Social Security?
Well, I don't know.
If they believed what they believe, that comes from the government. They should not accept their Social Security.
I don't know enough about their I know that they're not big on saluting the flag, if I remember Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's right. They don't even, nothing to it. It's nothing to them.
You know, it's sort of, I don't know enough about, I do understand that they like less government in their lives. I don't know about the social.
They don't want any security. Government. They don't want any government. Not less, none.
They don't want any. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I say, well, if you people are all this, I mean, you people are letting this country go down the tube, and this is God's country. This is built on Christian beliefs, and you people are letting it fall, but you still take the government's money to do what you got to do. So what are you worshiping, God or money here?
Yeah.
And you're throwing away all these votes and let our country go down the tubes. Well, if our country goes down the tubes, guess what? You lose your money.
Yeah.
It's a vicious circle here.
Yeah,
I go around in circles.
I can see where it might be. They also won't fight in wars. Is that correct?
That's right.
And they used to be exempted. I don't know what the rules are anymore about Jehovah's
Witnesses.
Well,
now everybody's equal. They're all going.
Yeah.
Gay, trans, witnesses, don't matter.
They are going? Okay. Well, my friend, it is always a pleasure. And we love your wife. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, my wife is a sweetheart.
She
but
is
we go
an
round
absolute
and round
sweetheart.
With
yeah. Well, she believes in what she believes. That's the way it goes.
You know how you answer that question?
What?
No comment.
I'd probably be better off. I still have all my hair.
You change the subject real quick. You compliment on her looks and go about your business.
Yeah, well, she's a wonderful woman. And yes, absolutely, yes. You're very lucky to have her, and you know that.
I know that.
I know you do.
Well, you guys have a good weekend.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Get that scooter ready tomorrow morning. That it'll be 38 degrees.
Yeah, it's going to get cold. You're right about that. All right, thanks, buddy.
All right,
buddy.
Guys, be good.
All right, there he goes. Master Barber, Andrew Ceresi. Going to take our break. When we come back, we are going to talk about campus quackery in Milwaukee Public Schools.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment of Freedom Work. We've got a lot to finish talking about here. Do want to mention that we come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are put on podcast. So you can go to our website anytime and listen to any of our shows. Any of them. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button, and away you go. All right. So, Milwaukee Public Schools are apparently working to, quote, decenter and dismantle whiteness in the classroom. Wow. The Young Americas Foundation has published an exclusive report on a memo from the public school system there, Educational Community and District Climate. It is meant to explain the, quote, best practices addressing discipline disproportionately through a positive educational community, unquote. A significant approach in the memo discusses anti-racism with a note on what they call understanding whiteness. And here's what they say. Whiteness is everywhere around us. Educational practices have been rooted in whiteness and coming from a lens of whiteness for years. Educators should reflect on which elements of whiteness they see in education, which they participate in, and which elements they can work to dismantle. There you go. Nothing like focusing on white people.
It's amazing.
To bring together people. Focus on one group, and you think you're going to bring together people. This is one of the things. Whenever you focus on people and look at their race,
the LBGTQRSTUVWXYZ, they get their, well, they get the whole week, the whole Pride week that they want everybody to celebrate. And if you don't participate, then you're a phobic. They get Black History Month, well-earned, and will do. And now we've got Juneteenth. But yeah, by golly, if you're proud to be a white man, you are a racist.
I don't recall that we have a day for white people in this country.
No way.
Well, right you are. Hey, before we get to our top 10, Ed, we got our beloved Buccaneers in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. They're going to be going to Detroit.
Yeah.
What the chances do you think that they can win that
game?
Well,
I've been hard on them, and I've not given them a chance. And if I'm afraid that if I say they're going to win, that they'll probably lose.
Okay.
But I can just say that, the Rams are pretty close to what the Bucs are, and they lost to them last week.
The Lions,
week.
You mean, yeah.
Yeah, they lost by 1 point. And a couple of years ago, and granted we had Brady back then, but we went out there and trounced them. But they did win against us here very early in the season,
yes,
by two touchdowns. Not a blowout, but
that might be more of an incentive for the Bucs.
Yeah, I think it's a competitive game. You got to remember, the pressure keeps building. Look what happened to Dallas. Got to win, and they imploded.
They did.
Now Detroit's coming off this big high, and everybody's celebrating in Detroit, and the Bucs are going to be easy. Look out.
I like the way the Bucs are playing defense. Look what they did in this last game. That, to me, is exciting.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. These are the top 10 states, Ed, with the most lakes. And it comes from an organization called whiteclouds.com. So I want to see if you'll know what is the number one state. All right? Here we go. Number 10. California, 3,000 lakes, including Lake Tahoe, by the way. Number 9. Maine. I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. They've got 6,000, twice as many as California. They, including what's called Moosehead Lake, largest lake in the state.
Number 8. It's pretty nice to hang out lakes like that, not worrying about alligators.
That's true. Yeah, there's no alligators up in Maine.
Go for a swim, don't have to worry, because you freeze to death, but you'll get bit.
That's true. Number 8, Texas, 6,700 lakes. Did you know Texas has that many lakes? Mm. Including some of the largest reservoirs in the United States, like Lake Texoma and Lake Ray Hubbard. Number 7. Hey, it's Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know we would have been in there.
Sure.
7,500. Known for its beaches, but we've got 7,500 lakes, including the Great Lake Okeechobee, which covers over 730 square miles. Number 6. New York. They only have about 100 more lakes than Florida, 7,600, including the Finger Lakes. Ever gone to the Finger Lakes when you were up in New York, Ed?
No.
Okay. Number 5, Washington State, 8,000 lakes, including Lake, I guess it's Chelan, Chelan, which is one of the deepest lakes in the U.S. Number 4, Michigan, 11,000. They're home to some of the largest freshwater lakes in the world, including, of course, Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, which border them. Number 3, Minnesota.
Oh, that was my first guess.
Well, you know that they would be up there, but
over 10,
it's not number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 11,842. How did they count all of those? They are known as the land of 10,000 lakes. Number 2, hey, right next door, they have more lakes, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's got 15,000 lakes, ranging from small ponds to massive bodies of water, including Lake Winnebago.
Mm.
All right, Ed. What do you think is the number one state with the most lakes?
Oh, wow. Illinois?
Oh, no. I wish they were. I would have been swimming in some of them.
I don't know.
It's Alaska.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes, and it's not even close.
But all frozen now.
You know how many they have in Alaska? 3 million.
Wow.
They're not even close. It's a home to more than 3 million lakes, covering over 5% of its total land area. So there you go. Alaska.
Got to be all frozen, or most of them frozen.
A lot of them are at times. You're right about that. Okay, thanks so much. Be careful out there. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
Do you want to get down? Or what you gonna do? You want to get down? Or what you gonna do? You want to get down? Tell me.
Get down on it. Get down on it.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. It'll be a weekend of campaigning in New Hampshire with the first-in-the-nation Republican primary next Tuesday.